yes, you can turn back the clock. It's the Growing Younger Radio Show with Dr. Vernon F. Williams, board certified and fellowship trained with the American Academy of Anti-Aging, Regenerative and Functional Medicine, and founder of San Antonio's Wellness and Aesthetics Medical Center. It's time to turn back the clock with Dr. Williams. The truth shall set you free.
Hello, everyone. It's Dr. Vernon Williams. Today, we're going to be talking about regenerative medicine. All right? And I know that a lot of people don't understand what regenerative medicine is. But regenerative medicine is really what your body is doing. And I just wanted to say a couple of things. Number one is, this is my radio show, Grow Younger, The Truth Shall Set You Free. The phone number to call me is 210-559-5959, 210-559-5959. Hi, Griselda, thanks for joining us. My book, Grow Younger Like Me, B29 Again and Again, is available at Barnes & Noble's, at Amazon. It's also available at www.growyoungeragain.com, growyoungeragain.com. And for more information, you can call the One Aesthetic Medical Center or the Stem Cell Institute of Texas at 210-495-8558, 210-495-8558. Or you can go to our website at www.feel29.com. That's feel, F-E-E-L, 29.com. Or to the www.stemcellsinstituteoftexastx.com. So today I'm going to talk about regenerative medicine. Regenerative medicine is basically what your body's been doing. So your body has, hey, Jeffrey, thanks for joining us. I see Craig is on the line also. And I see Mary Guerrero is also on the line too. Now, regenerative is medicine is what your body's been doing. You see, if you get a cut or a broken bone, you know, you go to the doctor sews the cut up or he sets the bone. And we believe that at that point, the doctor has fixed the problem. Unfortunately for us, that's not fixing the problem. What is fixing the problem is our bodies fixing the problem. You see, our body directs the repair. See, if you didn't go see the doctor for the fractured bone or the laceration, your cells, directed by your stem cells, would orchestrate the repair of the problem. It's called regeneration. So the laceration, you got yourself cut, your body goes in there, and it brings in the raw materials to repair the cut. Your bone is broken, your stem cells goes in there, it orchestrates the repair, and it regenerates the bone tissue. That means that it makes more bone, more cartilage, more tendons, and your body fixes the problem. I call stem cells the doctor inside of you. And when I say the doctor inside of you, I'm talking about the doctors inside of you, because your stem cells is always regenerating your body. You have to understand something. Stem cells are very, very powerful. When you first started out, when the first cell was fertilized by that sperm, that became stem cell number one. And that one stem cell divided into two stem cells, then four stem cells, then eight stem cells, then 16, then 32. It continually divided. And those divisions were minutes apart. To the point that when you finally are born at birth, you have grown from that one stem cell to almost 100 trillion cells. That one stem cell orchestrated the entire body. It has made cells, which are your brain cells. It's made skin cells, bone cells, kidney cells, liver cells, lung cells, so that one all-powerful cell made all these trillions of cells in your body. And when you're born, your umbilical cord and placenta has the strongest stem cells that you'll ever have. And at birth, those cells that's from your umbilical cord, they divide every 28 hours or so. So every day, those cells go from one cell to two to four to eight. They divide every 28 hours. And they divide for up to about 65 generations. Now, why is that important? It's important because when you're born, these cells are dividing so quickly that they are going all over your body and repairing things and fixing things and making things. It's generating stuff in your body. By the time you're 65 or 70 years old, those cells are dividing once a month. They're no longer dividing every 28 hours. Or when you were in utero, every minute. They're dividing like every couple of months before the cell divides. Now, why is this important? You see, let's say that you go to your doctor, and your doctor gives you 10 million stem cells in your knee. All right? And let's say they are umbilical stem cells. Well, 28 hours later, that 10 million stem cells will have divided into two. So now you have 20 million stem cells. And it will divide every 28 hours or so for up to 65 generations. It's like it's as if you got a stem cell injection every day for 2 to 3 months. Is that pretty powerful? Well, your own stem cells in your body, let's say you're 70 years old, and let's say that you got some fat or some bone marrow that's broken down and they extract the stem cells from it. Well, those stem cells from the fat or the bone marrow at that age, they divide in every few months if they survive that long. And so there's a huge difference between that and umbilical stem cells. Now, we're talking about regeneration, and I'm talking about stem cells. Why am I doing that? Well, here's the deal. Stem cells is the arbitrator of regeneration in the body. Every tissue in your body has stem cells. Hello, Jeffrey. Nice for you to join us. Carol, I see you join us. Thank you very much. Well, when you're born, actually all through your life, you have stem cells in your hair, in your skin. You have stem cells in your teeth. You have stem cells in your bone. You have stem cells in your kidneys, in your lungs, in your brain. Every tissue in your body has its own set of stem cells. The job of the stem cells in those tissues is to repair things that occur in your stem cells. So if you have damage to your skin, the stem cells in your skin are supposed to fix the problem by regenerating it. Let's say that you have a 10-year-old granddaughter and she falls on her knees. Immediately, the stem cells in the knees sends out an SOS to the rest of the body. It says, help, help, please come help us. And stem cells from all over your body rush to your knees. At 10, you have millions of stem cells rushing to your knee. And when they get there, the stem cell says, oh, my goodness, there's a lot of damage here. We're going to need some bone, some cartilage, some tendon, some muscle, some blood vessels to fix the problem. And what does the stem cell do? The stem cell secrete exosomes. Exosomes are peptides. And we're going to talk about peptides in a moment. Exosomes are peptides that goes into the damaged tissue, and it tells the damaged cartilage, you need to make these proteins to repair yourself. The exosomes, the peptides, goes into the bone and tell the bone cells, hey guys, you are not where you need to be. You need to make these proteins to repair the damaged bone. Then it goes into the blood and says, hey, you need to make more blood cells so we can get new blood to this damaged bone, and because blood carries raw materials. So the blood goes to the bone carrying more raw material so that the bone cells can make more bone protein. And so every damaged tissue, the stem cell sends the peptide exosomes into the damaged tissue and mandates that those tissues make the raw materials needed to repair themselves. Is that pretty powerful? That's what stem cells do when you're 10 years old. When you're 60 or 70 and you fall on your knee, the stem cells in the knee does their SOS. But guess what? The rest of your stem cells in your body are 65, 70 years also. So when that SOS goes out, those cells are taking a nap. They're tired. They run down. They don't have the energy. They don't quite make it to the knee. And so now the limited amount of stem cells in the knee has to go and fix the problem. There may not be enough of them to do the repair that's needed. So that's what happens. Now, I love talking about regeneration because that's what medicine is all about. Regenerative, refixing things. But how do you fix things? You need to have raw materials to fix things. How do you get raw materials? Well, in your body, you have the four musketeers. They always travel together. Arteries, veins, lymphatics, and nerves. These four guys travel together all the time. Wherever you see an artery, there's always a nerve, there's always a vein, and there's always lymphatics. Why is this important? See, the arteries is what carries the raw materials. The arteries is the Walmart trucks, the Home Depot trucks, the HEB wagons. They are carrying the raw materials. They bring the food. Without the food, the cells cannot function. So when you have a heart attack, you have a blockage of the artery. It means that the cells downstream from that artery cannot get food. If they cannot get food, those cells die of starvation. And now you have muscle that doesn't contract and the tissue dies. Right? Hey, George, good to see you can join us. And I see Jessica is also there watching too. Thank you for joining us, Jessica. So first thing is arteries, the veins. What do the veins do? Well, the veins carry your everyday garbage back. They take the everyday food and trash and they take care of that stuff. So the arteries bring the food, all the toxins that produce from all the chemical reactions, then veins take all that junk away. The lymphatics, they carry the big junk. They're the ones who carry the old sofa that you don't want anymore, the old television set, the tree limb that you cut down. The lymphatics carry the big junk back. And the nerves? The nerves are the foremen. They're the ones who are directing the repair. They're the ones saying what needs to go where and how and everything else. So that's how that works. So you need all four of those to help your stem cells do the repair that they need. Okay? So now the stem cell shows up, goes into the bone cell, sends an exosome that lands on the bone cell's membrane and puts a protein into the bone cell and tell the bone cell, hey guys, you're going to make these proteins so we can make more bone. It forces those bone cells to make more bone. And it has all the raw materials ready to go, so the bone has all the raw materials to make more bone cells. And then the stem cells send an exosome into the cartilage cells, lands on the membrane of cartilage cells. Hey, guys, I know you're injured, but I want you to make more cartilage cells so we can go ahead and repair the damaged cartilage. And so that's how the repair goes. For those of you who think that you have bone on bone, you never have bone on bone. Bone on bone tends to indicate you have no cartilage. You always have cartilage cells. There may not be a lot of them, but you always have enough to regenerate cartilage. All right? So stem cells uses peptides to direct the other cells to make the proteins needed to repair whatever needs to be repaired. But, you know, peptides, you know, we have been going deeper and deeper and deeper into things. Pretty soon we'll be talking about nothing compared to nothing, because the more you learn, the deeper you go into what things are. So I wanted to talk about peptides, because peptides are very, very important in the regenerative medicines field. You see, we already showed you that stem cells uses peptides to do their dirty work. Once these amino acids gets into your body starts putting these together in combinations. So if you get one amino acid, let's say leucine, and let's say glucine and tryptophan, they get together, and those two are put together. Those two amino acids would be a peptide. Now, we can also put three amino acids together. Guess what? That's a peptide. We could put four amino acids together. That's a peptide. We can put as many amino acids together, up to 50. It will still be a peptide. So there's 20 amino acids, and you can have 50 different, up to 50 of these amino acids together. So you can see that there's a tremendous amount of peptides. As a matter of fact, currently you have over 7,000 peptides in your body. A minimum, 7,000, and these are all naturally occurring. They're made in your cells. And each one of these peptides have a function. Each peptide goes to a particular cell and tells the cell to do something that the body wants done. It forces those cells to do whatever it takes. So up to 50 amino acids together is a peptide. 51 to 100 amino acids together is called a polypeptide. And over 100 amino acids, it's called a protein. All right? Now, why is this important? You see, let me give you an example. Growth hormone is made of 191 amino acids. 191 amino acids. So it would be considered a protein. Now, even though it's made of 191 amino acids, it does not need 191 amino acids to do its function. Think of a protein as a spaceship docking on another spaceship. Does the whole spaceship dock on another spaceship? No. A small part of that protein docks. The part that docks is what causes the effect. It's like an airplane. The airplane lands. It's a huge airplane. But the only important part of the landing is the four wheels of the aircraft. That would be the active part of that aircraft that affects the landing. Well, it's the same thing with the spaceship and the protein. The protein lands on the spaceship, and so let's say that the protein lands right here. All right? The active part would be this area right in here. This would be the active part. Or if this is the protein, and the protein comes in, and the protein lands on, and this is the mothership or the cell, and the protein lands right here. All right? The cells that comprise this portion would be the active part of this entire protein. This is what does the work, not this portion. So we can make a peptide of this portion of the growth hormone and have this portion land on the cell. When it does that, this little piece will have the same effect as this entire thing. All right? That's the brilliance of a peptide. So we can take the active part of the cell, of the protein, and have that part interact with the cell. And once that happens, the cell will do the bidding of the protein. Okay? So because we can do that, we can make lots of smaller peptides that will do what growth hormone does. Or we can get tiny peptides that will do what a testosterone molecule does, a testosterone protein does, or the same thing what a big protein does, you get a small portion of it. And that's what's so great about peptides, is because they can go in and do what the big guys used to do. Now, peptides is in the dark ages still. It is where growth hormone and testosterone and estrogen progesterone was 30 years ago. That's correct. And because these combination of amino acids are natural, they cannot be patented. And if they cannot be patented, guess what? You'll never hear drug companies advertising it. You know, I got to tell you this much. Hey, Lawrence, glad for you to join us. I got to tell you this much. You know, the beauty industry, the ones that make all the makeup and the facial products and stuff, they have been way ahead of us on peptides. All those products have peptides. There are peptides in there that makes your collagen better or give you more collagen. There's peptides in there that reduces wrinkles. There are peptides in there that makes your skin better. These industries have been on it for a long time, but the medical profession has not. We are playing catch up. But the facial creams and lotions and potions, they all have peptides in them. They were smart. Because they realized that you can't put big molecules on your face. So they got the small, tiny little ingredients. They put it in their little creams, and then you rub it on your face, and voila, these peptides are instructing your collagen cells to make more collagen. Well, if you make more collagen, guess what? You have less wrinkles. They're instructing your areas in the body that have stretch marks to create more collagen in those areas. It's amazing what they've been doing. But they've been on the forefront, and now we are set to catch up in the regenerative medicine. Now, I know a lot of you have heard about secretagogues. What are secretagogues? Secretagogues are the active ingredients of growth hormone. So rather than, you know, your pituitary makes growth hormone, growth hormone is 191 amino acids. Well, these secretagogues goes to the pituitary, lands on the cells, and tells the cells in the pituitary to make growth hormone. Hey, guys, make growth hormone. And so we can force your organs to make more growth hormone. We can go to the pancreas and tell the pancreas, hey, guys, make more insulin. We can go to any cell and tell them to make more. So a lot of you have heard of secretagogues because some of them have you been using. Things like somorolin. Somorolin is a secretagogue. What does somorolin do? It increases your testosterone, your growth hormone level. That's what it does. A fraction of the cost of growth hormone. I mean, so what does growth hormone do? What does growth hormone do? I'll give you an example. Growth hormone. Faster wound healing and stronger bones. Better sexual performance. Healthy maintenance of vital organs, your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your brain. Healthier maintenance. Lowered risk of heart disease. Lowered blood pressure. Improved cholesterol. Reduced body fat. Reduce body fat, increase muscle mass, increase energy level, and enhance your mood. Regrow your hair, have smoother and firmer skin, improve your cognitive function, improve your memory. That's what growth hormone does. But guess what? When we use secretagogues, which are peptides, it tells your pituitary gland to make more growth hormone. So when that happens, all those things that I just said is improved. Specifically, somorolin, which I know a lot of you have heard of, it boosts your energy, strength, and endurance, builds new muscle cells to increase your lean body mass, break down your fatty tissue, and decrease your fat cells, improve your heart function, strengthen your bone density, and increase your calcium retention, accelerate wound healing, enhance your non-REM sleep, increase your protein synthesis DNA, reduce your liver uptake of sugar, that starts off diabetes, regulation of insulin production. These are all done from somorolin, a growth hormone analog, a peptide that does what? Make your pituitary gland make more growth. Pretty simple. It was great talking to you all, and I will chat with you all later. Have a great day.